everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. Don't forget, next Wednesday we'll be at KCAL with Arsenio Hall, Adam Carolla, Frosty, Heidi and Frank, and Tom Likas. So that should be a great show next Wednesday. It all starts at 8 o'clock here and at 8:35, 9:35, and 10:35 on TV with KCAL. And Monday at 8 o'clock, Paul Majors is coming on. So it should be a full week. All right, Dr. Reef is with us, also Gina Grab. And if you'd like to go to Dr. Reef's website, get some information there. It's Dr. Reef, R-E-E-F, and spell out doctor, D-O-C-T-O-R, for people who went to LAUSD. All right, thanks for coming by, Doc. Let's take some more of these calls. If you're in trouble, you feel like you just run into a brick wall, or you need a little information, a little support to help you through life, Dr. Reef will have the answer for you. Let's talk to, how about Andy in Eagle Rock? You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hey, Tim. How you doing, man?
All right. What's up with you?
Not much. I'm so stoked to be on the radio with right now, man. You're the best on the radio.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
You got it. Hey, Dr. Reef. You're welcome. Dr. Reef, I appreciate you taking my call. I've been habitually using marijuana for about 10 years, and basically I've been using it as self-medication. I was diagnosed manic depressive when I was a young kid.
Right.
And I'm pretty much trying to figure out what to do. I've been going back and forth, quitting, and then going back on just because I can't take the cycles of manic depression. It's too much when I'm sober. So when I smoke, it really levels me out, and I'm trying to figure out a way to kind of get off it, you know, maybe a replacement of some kind.
I have a couple of friends who took up alcohol, and they whipped their marijuana addiction.
I'm not a big drinker. I only like tequila, but...
All right.
So, a couple questions. Have you seen a doctor about this? Have you seen a psychiatrist or an addiction medicine specialist?
I did a few years ago when I was living with my parents. My problem is that I'm a musician and I don't have health insurance, so...
Got it. Because, what's interesting about pot is that, you know, we always hear about people in the 60s and parents, and they're like, yeah, pot, smoke pot, whatever. The THC content of pot right now is like 8 times what it was in the 60s.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. It's strong stuff now compared to how it used to be.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, I mean, back when I used to, you know, buy tie sticks or a lid, you could smoke, the whole entire thing and just get a little buzz. Now you take one hit and you're walking through the desert naked, talking to turtles.
There you go.
That's what it is. The THC is too high.
The THC is very high. I've had patients that are psychotic from pot. They're on nothing else.
Is that right?
Yeah. And
is it because it's sort of a man-manufactured thing now? Like, what's the difference?
We're just so good at making things more potent now with our technology.
Congratulations, United States.
Yeah.
Now, what if I always heard two things. One, the pot is not an addictive substance psychologically. And two, and I think Dr. Druid told us this when he was on, that at some point in your life, if you're a lifelong pot smoker, you will experience a severe period of depression.
Yeah. I mean, first off, there is withdrawal associated with pot. Okay, first, you do have withdrawal symptoms when you're getting off of pot.
Right.
And secondly, there is comorbidity with pot, meaning you could get a rebound. It's not just depression. You could get rebound anxiety or depression. I have so many patients that are using, like he's using the pot, which I think based on his manic depressive symptoms that he reported, to self-medicate in that regard. There are all sorts of people that are smoking pot because they're really anxious. And the minute that they get off the pot, they're a basket case. And they're panicky and they're all over the place. So in his case, he needs to go see a professional to treat the underlying problem because he's masking it with the marijuana. The underlying problem is he bipolar? Does he have manic depression? And there are free health clinics. You can go to Venice Family Clinic. There's the Hollywood Clinic. There's a bunch of different clinics around town that you can go to. Edelman, D.D. Hirsch. They're all county clinics. So what I would do is...
Get what you pay for type of deal though?
No. Yeah, you'd think that, but you know, I did my training at UCLA, and we actually went into Edelman to you see good UCLA docs there that are training.
Right.
So there are some good places you can go that there are good reputations and good doctors, and you can get meds and treatment. You know,
and is that information on your website if somebody needs it?
Not currently, but I mean, you can look it up. There's you can look up county clinics in LA, and the ones that I would really focus on are Venice Family Clinic and Edelman. There are two that I know because I've worked. You know, I've been affiliated with them.
And we'll put them up in the blog section of the MySpace page.
Okay, good. I just real quickly pull it up on the internet here, the free clinics, you're right. However, the first opening is 2038, October 16th. So if you can hold on till then and slide in there in about 30 years. I imagine it's very crowded, those free clinics, though, no?
You know, it depends. You'd be surprised because I think a lot of people don't know that you can get good treatment at some of these clinics. So you don't see the mad rush there because people don't know.
And do they, when you go to get treatment from a free clinic, do they ask you about your financial hardship?
Yeah, usually they'll ask. They'll want to know, you know, why are you here?
Right. But I mean, what if you say, I got a lot of money. I just don't want to spend it on health care.
Probably would keep that under your tube.
Yeah. You'd probably be low on the totem pole.
Yeah. You don't want to pull up in your Porsche and go, hey, can you guys help me out here?
No, but it's really good for people. It's a good service for people.
I have a question. When you said that they self-medicate because they're bipolar or manic depressive, do you think that smoking or doing whatever drug makes you actually feel better, or it's just easier to dissociate? So it's like Vicodin or whatever. You know, my arm still hurts from my surgery, but I just don't care. Is it that you actually feel better, or that you just get to separate from yourself and that relieves some kind of stress?
Well, the definition of self-medicating is not improving the bipolar disorder or improving the depression or fixing the neurobiology changes in your brain. It's really escaping, feeling euphoric, not caring, and, you know, minimizing the symptoms because you got something on board to cover it up.
Right.
So you're not fixing anything when you're self-medicating. You're just kind of distracting.
Band-aid on a corpse.
Yeah. You're just distracting yourself so that you don't deal with the real problem.
Right.
But aren't there people that can smoke pot every day and handle it?
Yeah, there are. You know, and it's rare, though, when somebody smokes pot, is real consistent with it, and is really motivated and doing lots of things that they want to do in the world.
Oh,
the majority of people that I see that smoke pot on a daily basis, yeah, I ask them because they come to see me. I'm like, well, are you doing what you want to do in life? Yeah, dude, I'm smoking pot. Yeah. And then if you really ask them and you go on a little farther, they'll be like, yeah, you know, dude, I'd really love to be, you know, owning my own business, but dude, I'm smoking pot. You know, so it happens.
All right, let's talk to, how about Mike in Long Beach? Mike, you're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
How you doing, Timmy, buddy?
All right, what's up with you?
Hey, Gina.
Hi.
I'm a fellow Packerhead, Cheesehead, and, you know, having a lot of fun with your poker parties and stuff.
Perfect.
So I just wanted to ask the doctor, I got a situation. I was married for 13 years to my first wife, had an adopted daughter. She was about two when I met her, and then had a son, natural born son in 1990. He's just turned 18, and he's kind of divorced us. I'm just trying to figure out if he's just trying to find his way in the world, or, you know, his mom's a lot softer. His natural mother is a lot softer than we are as far as nutrition and exercise and stuff like that. And I'm just trying to, you know, everyone says he's going to come around eventually to realize that you guys were, you know, good in his life. And is that something I can still expect to see?
So is he just moved out of the house? Is he like, what do you mean divorced from
guys? I'm divorced and remarried. And I consulted him on my selection of a new wife, and he approved it, and he was all excited. He was part of the wedding party.
Sounds like a business transaction.
Yeah, and he actually came over and did visitation with us on his own, even after he turned 16, got his driver's license, had his own car, and stayed with us for about a year and a half. And then shortly before he turned 18, he just suddenly revolted and said this is not the atmosphere he wanted to be a part of. And his mom was so much nicer to him than we were. And our only concerns were for his health and well-being.
Right.
And, you know, so, you know, and like I said, everybody pretty much says he will come around at a certain point in time. And I did have a little distance from my adopted daughter, who is now, she's 23, and has now become a regular part of our lives, because she appreciates what we represent in her life. So
he'll come around.
Yeah, that's my estimation. But I just want to see if there's anything I can do to prosper it. I keep, you know, reaching the olive branch out, saying, hey. You know,
well, let's ask Dr. Reef here. I think we got most of the problem here. What do you think?
Okay, yeah, so I think we need more history, but just based on what you're telling me, it sounds like there may be some kind of discord between his relationship with your new wife as well. Without getting more of the history, it's hard to tell. But for whatever reason, if he really approved her from the get-go, something changed in between that period of time.
Right, and the biggest indicators I see of that was when she offered him tutoring, he interpreted that as her calling him stupid. And we offered modifications to diet, and he interpreted
that
as her calling him fat.
Is he fat?
Well, he has all of a sudden sprouted. The boy has gone from 5'8 and 210 pounds to 6'5 and 220 pounds, and he's slim as a rail now.
Jesus.
So
that's a late spurt there.
Oh,
spurt.
He just did something that was really odd for our family. We've never seen anything like that. So.
Hey, Mike, I have a quick question.
Yes.
You said that his natural mother is a little bit softer on him and that sort of thing.
Right.
What are the odds? Just is it possible that maybe directly or even indirectly she started putting some things in his head maybe about your new wife?
Well, and I believe that's the case because she's really put an amazing amount of pressure on us for additional child support, which got refuted in court.
Right. Is it possible that he's into the stick and he just doesn't know how to tell you?
Yeah.
I don't think it's that.
All right. All right. Well,
it's hard.
That's why I'm not a doctor, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. When he... it's really hard when you have a mom and there's kind of a new mom in place in a household, and you always have loyalty to your original maternal mom. So
Right. Sometimes
it's hard when you're growing up. You're trying to make your way in life, understand who you are, develop your identity, figure things out. And sometimes you're oppositional to people because you feel like you have to pick sides. And to you, it's probably not a contest. It's just, hey, you have two families.
Right.
But to him, he still may be in this mode of, I love my mom. She's never going to be replaced. So
yeah.
I don't know who you are.
The oddity was it was about 2.5 years before he made the switch, and it was just one day. We were having conversation, and he failed to recognize his stepmother's birthday. And it's like, why didn't you do that? I chose not to. And then all of a sudden, everything blew up right that day. He walked out of the house, has not been back here since.
Wow. How long has it been since you talked to him?
Actually, I leave messages for him once in a while, but it's been now about 10 months.
Aye.
Well,
so
something happened there.
So I am still able to keep tabs on him, and I'm just hoping that all these other people's recommendations that he will someday come around and say, hey, you were doing the right thing.
That's got to be tough, Doc, because it sounds like this guy, Mike, really cares about this kid,
Oh, no, and absolutely. And we had a great relationship as a father and son and did so many things together growing up and stuff. And I kind of miss that. And now, reflecting on my relationship with my father, I wish I would have been there more for him.
Right.
And
all right, what do you think? Is there anything you can tell this guy to make him feel better?
Not being your doctor, but just from an advisory standpoint, whatever you can do to create or enhance your relationship individually with your son, separate from the relationship he has with your wife, I think is useful because I think eventually he'll come around as far as your wife goes, because if he loves you and you love your wife, then it kind of just works. But the relationship that you have with him, whatever he's into or something that you guys share together or some kind of commonality that you guys have, I would really try to work that to see if you can just kind of reestablish and redevelop the relationship that you have as father-son.
And you know what else is cool about this guy? That he's not sort of stooping to the level of, the mind of an angry teenager. Like, oh, you walked out of this house? Well, F you too. Because I don't see how that could possibly benefit him, right, Doctor?
Yeah, that's my move.
Back to that.
Yeah. It's like when I was younger and I wasn't getting along with my mom, I said, Mom, I'm going to run away. I think it was like 12 or 13 years old. And she goes, oh, great, let me help you pack. Here, you'll need shoes, you'll need this. Let's go. Where do you want me to drop you off? And I left for like an hour, and then I came back. I'm like, oh, man, this is rough on the road.
She called your bluff.
Plus, she packed all my stuff in my sister's, like, Hello Kitty suitcase. So I'm walking down the street, like 12 years old, with a Hello Kitty suitcase, trying to hide it from all the other kids. Like, nah, it's just my stuff here. I'm on my own for a while.
Jesus Christ.
Tim, from a psychiatrist standpoint, that explains a lot.
I am the king of the damaged here. All right, Dr. Reef is with us. You can check out his website, DrDoctorReef.com. And he's done tons of television and radio, fills in for Dr. Drew over there on Love Line occasionally.
I filled in before, yeah.
Yeah, also on Oprah. And what is Oprah like, personally? Is she pretty cool?
Well, you know, I did a satellite show there where I actually was brought into the trenches to go help out this family. So we did the whole thing by satellite, but she was cool with me. Yeah she was cool.
Did you help the family out? Isn't that the family, after you talked to them, they all killed themselves?
That was a different one.
Oh, okay.
I hope.
Ellen.
No, they all had a heroin problem. The entire family. It was a very,
the whole
very,
family did, huh?
A very sad story. Yeah.
Wow,
and
look
they,
at that.
They, you know, drugs, you know, I'm also an addiction specialist. I'm a certified specialty certification in addiction medicine. So I deal with sex, drugs, relationships.
Right.
In L.A.,
right.
Which is really good job security.
You know what I really see? Actually, absolutely. You can walk down the street and, you know, everybody you see, you can help out. But what I see is a trend. I don't see a lot more people drinking because you can't drive anywhere and, you sort of smell like alcohol. But pills are really taking off.
Oh, prescription. That was what we talked about on the show, is how I felt so bad for this family. I mean, you've got this guy that's a successful general contractor, and he's at work, and part of a wall falls on him, and he has a back injury. And so he goes to get, treatment for his back, and one of the parts of the treatment was medications. So he gets on a narcotic analgesic like a Percocet or a Vicodin, but the doctor gives him a larger supply. And what ends up happening is, it's kind of spinning a roulette wheel. We don't know if we have a genetic predisposition to have a drug addiction.
Right.
We don't know. And based on access, availability, and you try a drug, and if you don't have more of that drug, if you only have the supply you're supposed to have, hopefully you won't go get more or go doctor shopping. But if you're given 120 of the pills,
right,
you may just start popping twos and threes and fours at a time. Next thing you know, this guy's doing OxyContin. Next thing you know, and the hard part about opiates especially is the withdrawal is just the worst feeling ever. You feel like you don't die generally, but you feel like you're going to die. You get body aches. You get all sorts of nausea and vomiting. Like the worst day you can ever have, just
right,
and it's coming. That's the worst part about it.
But that's when you're into like 20 or 30 or 40 a day, right?
No, you can get opiate withdrawal from a smaller amount, depending on who you are and what your metabolism is like. But nonetheless, if you feel that coming and you want to make sure you don't feel it, you want to pop another pill. And heroin's got a very short half-life, and it works very quickly.
Yes, what, 2 or 3 hours?
Yeah, exactly. How do you know that? That's pretty good.
Never you mind, Dr. Reed.
No, I read that off of your Oprah page.
Okay,
yeah,
got it.
2 to 3 hours.
So what ends up happening is you might be on pills, you start feeling withdrawal, and if you don't have access to more pills and you don't go into treatment, you get desperate. And being an addict and being under the disease of addiction is like you're possessed. And you're not you. You're this other guy who's just totally taken over.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that before with pot smokers do that, too. They run out of weed. And Malibu Dan used to do it all the time, where he'd run out of weed, and then he'd be on his hands and knees on the carpet looking for little buds in the carpet, or looking, pulling the couch apart. And I've seen that a lot.
Yeah.
It's an interesting move. It's sort of like a dog looking for a bone, and it's really an attractive move. All right, let's take some more phone calls here. Let's talk to Vernon in Buena Park. You're on 97.1 FM Talk with Dr. Reef. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
All right,
lady.
lady.
I'm sorry. I don't know.
That's okay.
That's fine.
Go ahead.
It's Gina Gred.
Thank you very much.
Hey, what's up, Gina? Doctor, I had a situation. I've been with my lady for about 3 years, and she started living with me about 8 months ago, and she's a lot younger than me. I'm 30 and she's 20. So the last, well, in the beginning, she started a lot of arguments, but I just
was one of the arguments that she hates when you call her your lady. Could that have been one?
No. But anyways, the last 2 months I just got laid off, and I just noticed a few things about her. I mean, she's real argumentative lately. But I noticed it like the last two, three months, and I was seeing what can I do, because if she's bipolar, she doesn't admit it, and sometimes she, you know, when we see the commercials, you know, she has all those symptoms, because she'll come in the room sometimes and just blow me up, you know, just start, you know, just call me like names and just, but then she'll leave the room and then come back like 5 minutes later and act like nothing happened. And
do you guys live together?
Yes, the last 8 months we have.
Is she home right now?
Yes, I'm in the garage.
Oh, you got to get in the car. Don't go back in there.
Now, and the question I think would be, is she bipolar or is she 20? Because,
well, no,
seriously.
I mean, you do have a point, but the way she's acting, it's getting kind of scary lately, because now...
you want to have kids eventually?
Not... Well, she needs help first.
Yeah.
Because since she started living with me, her mom kind of disowned her because her mom didn't like me.
All right, well, let's talk to Dr. Reef here. My natural reaction, and again, I rely almost solely on my street sense and my natural reactions and my ability to read people. My natural reaction would be to get the hell out of there. I mean, 10 years difference. She's 20 years old, and she's already, you know, yelling at him. That doesn't get better with age.
Yeah, it's...
I'd get out.
The thing is, if you're looking for... I'm curious why he says bipolar. I mean, she sounds... Gina's got a good point. She sounds like a 20-year-old girl who's argumentative.
No, but it's a little bit more to that, because she's real jumpy from subject to subject. I mean, she'll start an argument that makes, you know, no sense. In the beginning, when we first met, she could have swore to God I had a kid, and I thought that was just kind of cute, because I had just got out of a relationship.
Wait, she was accusing you of having a kid and not telling her?
That's what, yes, in the beginning. And
where is this kid?
No, I don't have one.
No, I know. But where does she think it is?
I didn't know, but I didn't really pay too much attention, because I have a studio
name
at my house. And whenever she came over, I really didn't pay too much like attention to her. But the last 3 months, since I haven't been working, I just been, you know, I would hear her laughing in the other room, and then I would open up the door and no TV would be on. And now she's like starting to like. Talk to herself.
Oh, Babu.
Oy.
You
yeah,
got to, seriously, I mean, you got to get in that car and move to Pittsburgh.
No, but I mean, I could, because I do love her, but if I go to a doctor, what do I tell a doctor? Hey, just talk to this girl so you can see, like, you know, because she's starting to become, like, weirder. It started with just, like, laughing and then saying, yo, that was crazy when I was younger.
Is her name Sam, by chance?
No.
You know her?
No. But now it's
sure.
Kind of, like more conversations, like she's talking to herself. And
all right, Vernon, so let's just cut to the chase.
Yes.
If you really care about her and you want to stay in the relationship, you know, she needs to, if this is really what's happening, that she's talking to herself. I mean, bipolar disorder essentially is you have periods and episodes of being depressed, clinically depressed, and periods and episodes of being manic. Manic is decreased need for sleep. Maybe you go nights without sleeping. You're more talkative, pressured speech. Periods where you might have shopping sprees, distractibility, increased sexual activity, increased goal-directed activity. It's just a ton of stuff that it sounds kind of cool, but when it's put all together and it's hardcore, it's unmanageable. It's absolutely really difficult. And the depression can be really, really bad. If it is bipolar, I mean, the way that you check this out is she has to get a psychiatric intake. Yeah, a psychiatrist needs to see her. You could start with a therapist and work your way up to a psychiatrist, but you need to have someone who's a professional in regards to psychiatry, psychology, you know, assess her and give her an intake.
And Dr.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just thinking, not that I am even remotely qualified to ask this, but when he says things like, you know, she's exhibiting some paranoia and she's kind of laughing.
Yes, yes.
Do you think it's possible that she might be schizophrenic, maybe?
That's what I was going to lead to also. I mean, you did say, like, goal-oriented, and I mean, she's been to, you know, career college and got both the medical assistant and the medical billing, but she didn't follow through.
Okay, hey, a couple things. First of all, career college is a little redundant. That's why people go to college. But secondly, what my cure would, and again, Doc, I might be way off here, but the best solution, I think, is for these two to have like four or five kids immediately. Is that the way to roll?
Well, that's definitely rolling the dice there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, the first thing I think of, though, and in a 20-year-old female who, look, if this is some kind of a psychotic or paranoid presentation, mm-hmm. is drugs. I think drugs first. I mean, you got to make sure she's clean and she's not using anything that might make her that way. But then if there is a psychotic realm, yeah, I mean, you could be a lot of things, mm-hmm. with schizophrenia being one of them. But it's hard to know without an evaluation. You got to see a doc. That would be the first thing I would do, is go see a doc and get an evaluation.
So take her to a regular doctor first?
No, I would go straight. I mean, if your insurance company makes you go through a family practice doc, that's fine. You could do that. But I would try to see if you could go see a therapist or go see a psychiatrist first.
You know, I think it's a flip of a coin here, whether you should see a psychiatrist or a priest. because this sounds like...
It's getting kind of scary lately, because, I mean...
Can her head spin completely around, like, 360 degrees on her body?
And how freaked out is she going to go on you when you even suggest that she needs to seek counseling?
That's what I'm saying also, because...
He needs a crafty way to approach this, because I don't see this girl going down without a fight.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking, like... I mean, I
is this girl really hot?
Yeah, she is.
Okay, and what are her parents like?
Well, her mom is she's cool, but she don't like me because it may be that, but I guess her mom has never liked anything that's gone good in her life. I mean, I'm white, she's black.
Wait, you're white.
She's black,
and the girl's black.
Yes, and she was with other black dudes that mistreated her, but she loved them. But I came around, and all of a sudden she hated me. I did nothing to her. So that kind of got her attraction to me, because her mom didn't like her, in the beginning. So her mom didn't like me, so that, I guess, made her like me more, to rebel or whatever. And, I really didn't, because I have a studio at my house, and I'm always busy. So whenever she did come over in the first 2 years, she just stayed in my room. I really didn't, I had artists over. I didn't really pay much attention to her. And then...
Well, that's good. All right.
Yeah.
Hold on. What do you think, Doc?
Well, I think if he's hiding in his garage from her right now, that's a sign.
Yeah, but that's a guy's do, though. Once they get married... Like, I was talking... When I talk to buddies and they whisper, like, hey, what are you doing? Goes, oh, I'm sitting around watching... Whenever a guy starts to whisper, the woman's around or the wife's around. Yeah. And I can remember a time when none of my friends had to whisper at all. But now it is over.
So Vernon, what I would do is, if you don't think she would directly go see a psychological or psychiatric doctor, I would go to a family practice doctor. Make sure she just gets checked. Just, you could couch it as, hey, we just want to check in, see what's going on, kind of thing. And have them, ask her the right questions. And this is going to play out a lot of these, if it is a disorder, like bipolar disorder usually presents between about 17 and about 24, 25. So it's the right age. Schizophrenia as well can, but this might be something else. This might just be that she's oppositional and she's having a hard time, and either way, it's good.
All right. Hey, Vernon.
To get help.
Vernon, you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You're going to think I'm a complete a-hole here.
Probably.
But I have a suggestion for the two of you. You guys start, and you probably have to start in a little theater somewhere in Los Angeles, and you guys go on the road performing this song together. All right? Here we go.
Ebony and ivory live together in perfect harmony.
This is the song you should be playing when you tell her about the psychiatrist.
My piano keyboard, oh Lord, why don't we?
All right, we got to take a break here. Dr. Reef is with us. DoctorReef.com. Dr. Reef, Gina Grant is with us as well. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk.
Wherever you go, there is good and bad in everyone. We learn to live. We learn to give each other what we need to survive. Together alive, ebony and ivory live together in perfect harmony, side by side on my piano.
Welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. Gina Grad is with us, and also Dr. Reef, man. Look at this guy. DOCTORREEF.com. And you're also starting the Beverly Hills Center for Self-Control and Lifestyle Addiction. Is that right?
Yep. I'm seeing more and more patients that have lifestyle addictions or process addictions. So basically that means...
What's a lifestyle addiction?
Right. So you've got chemical addictions like heroin, coke, pot, alcohol, all that. Then you've got lifestyle addictions. That's like sex addiction, gambling addiction, shopping addiction, food addiction, internet video game addiction. More and more people, you know, we're living in this high-tech society where there's really no family dynamics. People don't even need dinner at home anymore. There's it's all fast-paced, ADD kind of society,
right?
And we're gonna take a hit for that in our psychology at some point. So I'm seeing more and more of people that just behaviorally are really stressed out or are really angry or have one of these lifestyle addictions.
And so porn, is that one of them?
Porn is definitely one.
Or the internet?
Oh, yeah. The internet is an amazing thing, and we're all so much better for it, our lives, because it's made our lives a lot easier. But what goes along with that is potential problems. And I am seeing so many people that are – because think about the internet. You get interactivity with chat rooms. You get full access and full anonymity. So people are doing all sorts of crazy stuff.
Like they're invisible.
They think they're – yeah, but they're not, because they can track you, man. They can track you.
I'm not into chat rooms or like MySpace. Or Facebook or any of that stuff. I have one, but I don't really check it ever. But I do get up in the morning. The first thing I want to do is check the stocks or check the news and see what happened during the night.
That's fine, but if you're doing it like 12 hours a day...
I'm on it a lot.
Yeah,
I do it for work, but I'm probably on it too much.
Yeah, and if your stock site is like bigjugs.com or something like that, you know, then
that's
you got a problem.
Stock site.
Thanks for the plug, by the way.
Yeah, I don't even know if that exists, but
yeah,
you know,
it's a Gina's site. All right, let's talk to I don't know. How about John in Pasadena? You're on 97.1 FM Talk. What's your problem, dude?
Hey, John, and hey, what's up? Or no, I'm John. Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey,
grief.
Hey, what's up, man?
So I have a family history of depression, and I've been seeing a counselor now for quite a while, and I've seen a few different kinds of counselors, and I was just wondering if there's different styles or schools of thought for counseling, because some of them seem more effective than others. I don't know if that's just the individual counselor and how good they are, or if it's kind of like the school of thought that they come from.
That's a good question. I mean, everybody obviously doesn't have the same educational background, but how do you know?
Right. I mean, I don't know if I'd be curious to know how you found your therapist. It's not like they have like a matchmaking therapist side, right?
I just kind of went like the cheapest route, like something that's offered.
Oh, that's
offered,
a good idea.
That's just offered. Like they're kind of like interns or whatever. They're
like
they're
you pay them on a sliding scale type thing.
Yeah. Right.
Where do you go to Super Shrinks?
Yeah, if Sally Struthers, what's that commercial that they used to do?
On less than a dollar a day, you too can be mentally sound.
Yeah.
No, you know, depression comes in different varieties as well. There's like irritable depression. But as far as therapy goes, you know, there's supportive psychotherapy, there's cognitive behavioral therapy, there's psychodynamic psychotherapy, psychoanalytical psychotherapy. There's different like cohort self-object relations. There's all sorts of different schools that you could come in as a therapist. You could also have a master's in family therapy, marriage and family therapy. You could have a PhD. You could have a PsyD. There's all sorts of different training that you get. But the number one reason that someone is an effective therapist is if they have a really good rapport with their patient,
right,
with their client. So the number one thing beyond education and all that is, do you have a good rapport with your therapist, and are they effective in being able to communicate with you so that you trust them and you feel like you're in a safe environment? If you have that, then it's cool if they're in the right school for you, so to speak, and it's based on really how effective they are and what they know about the problem that you're presenting to them.
All right, Johnny, hopefully that clears it up for you, buddy. But if you're looking for a good psychiatrist or a good psychologist, I always think my rule of thumb is ask your friends, you know, I mean, who they see and or maybe who has saved their marriage. And that sometimes works. All right, let's talk to how about Robert in Ventura? You've been on hold for a little while, buddy. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hey, I have a lady boss, which is very high strung. She's Italian, which I don't know makes it right or wrong. But just the idea that every time that something little thing happens, she gets all upset and she gets all nervous and ready to swear and ready to, you know, jump off the collusion, fire me, and tell me to clock out. What do you think?
Well, what do you do for a living?
I work for a medical supply.
How long have you been there?
Part-time, about 7 years.
Well, can't you work for another medical supply company?
I know it. I wish I could, but, you know, I'm just... Well, you know, the job industry is so bad right now that I hate to make a move.
Yeah.
Well, have you tried?
In a way, yes. In a way, no. Because, I mean, I'd like to get away from her.
I always think when somebody uses that term, it's always no. Well, in some ways, yes. In some ways, no.
Yeah.
They could leave out the some ways, yes. You know?
Yeah, totally.
Probably not. All right, what do you think here, Dr. Reeve, when you have a boss who's an a-hole?
Yeah, is she like that with all the other employees, or just you?
Well, I'm a guy, and the other two girls, you know, the other two employees are girls. So yeah. She doesn't fly off the handle and get all upset and ready to fire me.
How often does she do it, every day?
It seemed like almost every other day or something. She just, you know, and I don't know.
Hey, Robert. Is her superior also in your office, or are they somewhere else? So she's like the babysitter, and there's no one there else to talk to.
No, that's true. Right.
Because I was in the exact same situation with a female boss who flirted and loved all the males that I worked with and absolutely hated me. And I was in trouble because there was nobody to tell. So that's kind of that's somewhere to start.
Dude, if you were a rock star making millions of dollars a year and some woman was irritating, you could put up with it. But you're selling, you know, medical supplies. You can go next door and work for somebody else.
Yeah, but the industry and every, you know, the employment industry is really bad right now to make a move.
I know. Are you good at what you do?
Yeah, but there's only like 3 shops in the one, you know, city, and that's it.
Walking
a hard place. If you want to quit, all of a sudden, then they fire you, and then where you're out, you're on the street making, you know, collecting bottles and cans.
Yeah, but dude, you've been 7 years with this woman.
Yeah, but it just the idea. It was good, and all of a sudden, it seemed like in the last year or so, she just become because what happened? The business is going under. She is not making any money.
There it is.
She's already upset a lot of people.
Well, so that's why you're sticking around.
There it is. You know, the problem with this, if for anyone who has a boss that's just kind of going off and is having their own problems or trouble, is that you're subject to their stuff. You know, whatever they're bringing in, there's not a whole lot you can do to not have to deal with that. You're going to have to deal with it. So at some point, it's not like she's just going to magically change and walk in and be like sparkling and happy-go-lucky the rest of the month or whatever. So I agree with Tim on this one. Tim, we're totally in agreement on this one. I think you got to cut your losses at some point if you can, but otherwise you got to suck it up for a while. And, you know, you can ask, hey, you having a bad day? You all right? You know, maybe show a little genuine concern and see if that takes you anywhere.
And also just have a good excuse when all of a sudden you're dressing better and leaving during lunch to hit those interviews and have a good reason why, so when she asks you can give her some
but you got to get fired though so you can get unemployment and get some benefits. You know, you can't just quit. I mean, you got
to work. I can't. I'd love to quit tomorrow morning.
No, you gotta show up drunk and you know, wearing pantyhose or something. Robin, I'd love to talk to you all night about your crazy boss. We got a chick here that has an addiction to porn. I think that might be a more interesting call. Gloria in Los Angeles, you're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. How are you guys?
All right, you're on with Dr. Reeve.
Hi, doctor. Had an addiction, at least I think it's an addiction, to internet porn for about 10 years. And I don't really know what, like, the best steps are to get out of it. It's definitely something I don't want.
What kind of sites are you looking at?
I'm sorry?
What kind of sites are you looking at?
Just anything that's free.
Are you looking at lesbian stuff?
Sometimes. It just kind of depends. It's more like, I think it's an addiction just because it's every day almost, but it's not for like long periods of time. It's just enough to kind of get the job done and then I just move on with my day.
Wow. Are you lighting candles?
Look
what are you
at
doing
that. Yeah, turn the lights down.
Burning incense in here. It's getting a little tight.
Wait, so there's no specific types of sites that you're looking at, and it's not for an extended period of time?
Not usually, just till I'm done.
So is it just like a curious little, oh, I got to go look at porn for the next 20 minutes? Like, what drives you to go look at the porn?
I don't know. I think that that's probably the question that needs to be answered. I don't really know. I just think it's a habit. It just kind of feels like a habit.
Do you look at other sites too, or is it just porn?
No, I love the internet. I read a lot of blogs and I look at the news, and so no, I'm online a lot.
Hey, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Before you go surfing on the internet for porn, does it kind of consume your thoughts? Like, God, I need to look at my porn, and then I'll be fine.
Sometimes, yeah.
And are you often? I mean, every time you look at porn, are you masturbating?
Yeah.
Mom, would you stop calling in the goddamn show?
Hey, Randy, please.
Jesus Christ, I'm so embarrassed.
Your mom's a good caller.
All right, so and how many times are you doing this? Once a day, or are you doing this more than once a day?
Usually once.
All right, so here's the interesting thing about internet porn. You know, if porn in general was like 75% guys or more,
right,
before the internet came out. Now, it's really equalized.
50-50?
It's almost 50-50.
Is that right?
Yeah, a lot more women are checking out porn nowadays. They may not talk about it as much, but they're checking it out.
All right. Now, hey, Gloria,
yes.
are you married? You got a boyfriend? You got to live in? What's going on with you?
No, I've been single for a while.
Single. How old are you?
26.
All right. Well, I'm sure there's a million guys that would like to, buy you a drink.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. It's just not what I'm looking for, I guess.
Oh.
Like, it's not really like, lonely, so I go online. It doesn't feel like that.
Oh, I see. Well,
it's really a problem when you start looking at the fantasy of porn as the only way to get off, so to speak. What ends up happening is you can be dysfunctional in your regular life because you're not looking for real guys, because you'd rather look at the guys that are on the computer screen, you know, or the girls on the computer screen. So that's when it's really a problem. So if it's just like a curiosity that you do and it's not impacting your functional life and you're not spending lots and lots of time on the internet and you're able to have healthy relationships, then it's not a huge
cost. Knock yourself out then, right?
Yeah, then it's not a huge cause for concern. But when it starts impacting all that other stuff, then you got to start looking for help.
Or I think this is, I don't know, maybe it's equal. Like you said, it's not more common in men. But the danger is that you begin to be desensitized. And so it takes some crazy stuff that you didn't need before to get through it. You
know, oh, that's totally true. You might have garden variety sex with your girlfriend or your boyfriend, and then suddenly you start checking out porn. You know, before
right.
you know it, you're like, okay, I want to do it while we're skydiving off a plane, and right before we land, we're going to bring in another person, and then then it gets ridiculous.
Yeah.
No, I think it's more of maybe an intimacy thing. Just because some relationships are less functional than others, I guess. So I could definitely see how it could be like an intimacy problem. I just don't know if that's something that I need to go to therapy for.
Yeah, intimacy is a part of this as well. I mean, you're not going to develop some major emotional intimacy to your computer screen. You know what I mean? And it's a great way
to... Sounds like Gloria is almost there, though.
Well, yeah, obviously you don't have a Mac, Doctor.
Yeah. All right, we have to actually take a break here, but we'd like to thank Dr. Reef for coming in. You're a major stud, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
And go to drreef.com, drreef.com. And he's the founder of the Beverly Hills Center for Self-Control and Lifestyle Addiction. Awfully nice to meet you, buddy.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
All right, it is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. Joining us from the John and Jeff Show are the two studs of the John and Jeff Show, John and Jeff. Nice to see you, fellas.
Timmy.
What's up, Tim?
Yes. What's going on with that big show tonight?
You'll be surprised how much money these panhandlers make.
And is that right?
And when you find out, you're probably going to quit your job. Because the hourly rate that these people are getting put a lot of part-time and full-time jobs to shame. So it's actually... think about it. You can actually make more money begging for it than probably, you know, working your job right now.
Is it north of $50 a day?
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they're making some cash.
It can be north of $200 a day.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Holy Christ. No taxes.
It depends how lazy the panhandler is, and by nature, they're pretty lazy.
Yeah. Now, Tim,
it's not a mistake while they got there.
When you're at Target and those double doors open up, whoosh,
right,
and you see that person out there,
right,
you throw them a buck or two?
You know, I try not to because there are so many of them I'd go broke. But I do occasionally, if it's like a chick or if it's like somebody with a dog. I mean, I have like a certain, you know, set of criteria. Or if somebody looks like they're really down and out, I hit them up. But I tried not to because I don't, you know, you can't give to everybody, you know?
Yeah.
Do you excuses anymore?
I just say, I ain't got any money. I'm busted out.
I just say I'm tapped out.
Yeah. I know they don't believe us when
say
that. But
when you go into your Lexus.
Like, you're just walking back from ATM machine, like, oh, I'm busted out, man.
Yeah, you're walking out with a cart of groceries. But one person said to me one time, well, I take plastic. Oh, yeah, sure. Let me take out my gold card, my platinum card. Here you go. Yeah, there you go. Here's my number.
Well, you should tell them. Do you accept credit cards? No? Oh, I guess I can't contribute.
Well, I mean, I will avoid, like, there's a 7-Eleven on the corner of Burbank and Reseda, and I avoid that 7-Eleven because I know there's always a dude out there, you
hanging
know,
out,
hounding me. So I'll try to, you know, buzz over to a gas station. Hey, your guy, Bill Maher, one of your favorite dudes, his movie, is it Religious? Religious? Remember his?
I have no idea because he's not my favorite guy.
Oh,
yeah. As a matter of fact, I don't have any. I have favorite ladies, but.
Anyway, he has a movie about religion that came out yesterday. And big opening day for the movie.
Really?
Yeah, it made $13,000.
You going to go see it?
No. But it made $13,000 in opening day.
Are you going to go see W?
I don't think so. I think W is for people who hate W. But if you already hate him, why would you go see it? And people like him wouldn't go see it either.
Well, then you're going to have discussions on, you know, the movie and how much you hate him even more.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to go see it. All right, John and Jeff are up next here. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show on tomorrow, right after Tom Likas on 97.1 FM Talk. Henry and Carson, you're on 97.1 FM Talk.
Stop the poison from getting to your heart.
To stop the poison from getting to your heart?
That's exactly right, dude.
Jump up and shout.
Yes. Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
All right. You get yourself a choice of either Jim Rose, Traveling Circus, or the movies.
I'll take the circus.
All right. Hold on one sec. We'll put you on with Gina, and she'll be able to take your credit card information and give you those prizes. I'm just kidding. We don't charge you for the prizes. Idiots. Yeah, because some idiot will call up and say, oh, they're charging for prizes. Oh, how dare they? F. Conway, F. CBS, F. KLSX, F. Jack Silver, F. that guy.
KLSX, HD, Los Angeles.